Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools Finance Committee meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant and Board Secretary of Magnolia Public Schools. Before we begin, a couple of reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. Second, if you're a member of the public and you wish to give a public comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If you want to state your comment anonymously, you may do that as well. As of now, we do not have any public comment forms for this meeting. And third, for our staff presenting, if you may please state your name and title before presenting yourself to the board and to the public. And for our committee members, if you may please state your name before giving your comments or your questions. So with that, we'll officially begin tonight's meeting. Just an FYI as well, we do have a regular board meeting starting at 7:35 p.m. So with that, the day is Thursday, September 14th, 2023. The train is 6:44 p.m. With that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Dick Bush. If you may please call the meeting to order.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Dr. Dick Bush. With that, I'll take roll call. Dr. Dick Bush?
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Mohammed.
Here.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez.
Here.
Thank you to our committee members. Now that we've established quorum, we'll move on next with the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion, Diane.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohammed?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our committee members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Now we'll move on to public comments. As mentioned earlier, we did not receive any public comments forms. However, if there is anyone in the public that would like to make a comment, please unmute yourself. If no public comments at this time, we'll move forward next with the approval of minutes from the MPS Regular Finance Committee meeting on March 9th, 2023. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion, Diane.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Is there a second?
Seconded, Nikon.
Thank you, Mr. Mohammed, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohammed?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Gonzalez.
Yes.
Thank you to our committee members. The minutes for March 9th, 2023 has been approved. Now we'll move on to the recommended action items, starting with 2A, approval of 2022 to 23 unaudited actuals. This will be presented by Mr. Budraja, our Chief Financial Officer.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming to the Finance Committee meeting. I'm Steve Budraja, CFO for Magnolia Public Schools. So the purpose of item tonight is to reflect on the unaudited actuals for the 22-23 fiscal year. Just to give you a brief summary, we closed out the year June 30th of 2023. This would reflect from the period of July 1, 2022 through June 30th, 2023. And this was done subsequent to our 23-24 budget adoption. And so this is basically a snapshot of where we ended last year in terms of financials. So I'll be going over the financials for all 10 of the school sites, as well as the home office, to give you kind of a summary of where how we did and what some of the factors were as it relates to the numbers. This information will be reviewed by our external, our auditors that we work with to review for accuracy, to make sure that all the information is correct and will be summarized in an audit report that will be shared during January of 2024. So this is based on the latest information that we have. I talked about the fact that we had applied for employee retention credits, and this was done some time ago. The funds now did come in. They came in after our July 1 budget adoption. And so we did recognize those revenues as well as one-time state and federal stimulus funds. And so the top line numbers are as follows. We collectively as an organization, Magnolia Public Schools had revenues of $84.05 million, which was an increase of $8.34 million from the second interim report, which was done back in March of 2023. Our expenditures came in at 74.97 million, which represents an increase of 460,000 from the second interim report. All in all, we had a net surplus of 9.08 million, which was an increase of 7.88 million from the second interim report. Despite the various challenges we had during the 22-23 year, all of the sites, including the home office, were able to recognize net income, or what we call surpluses, rather than have deficit spending. So no school site had any deficit spending, as you'll see here in the numbers as we go into the next slide, please. So this is a top line summary that kind of highlights all of the different sources of revenue. We have four main sources of revenue, the largest one being the LCFF, the local control funding formula, which we ended up with 44.4 million collectively as an organization. Our federal revenue, which includes Title I funding, Title II, Title III, some special education funding, and other various sources, that came in close to 7.5 million. Other state revenues include some one-time funds, including lottery, special ed, various different block grants that came in at $15.7 million. And then finally, other local revenues, $16.38 million. Collectively, our total revenues were a little over $84 million for 22-23. Going over our expenditures, we have really five main categories. Personnel costs represent, you know, a significant amount of our budget, well over half of our budget. So that being certificated salaries, classified salaries, employee benefits, book supplies, services and other operating expenses. And then we have smaller line items as it relates to depreciation. So we had ended the year with 22.2 million worth of expenses on certificated salaries, which was about where we were at second interim, not a significant change. 10.5 million on the classified side, not a significant change from second interim. And then our employee benefits also closely matched. We went a little bit over, ended with 11.8 million on the employee benefits side. Books and supplies being probably among the smaller line items in our budget was 3.34 million. And then our services and other operating expenses, which include things like rent, communications, contracted services, sub-costs, special ed fees, things like that, that came in at about $24.6 million. And then finally, the depreciation expenses and capital outlay of $1.8 million. So all in all, we came in close to $75 million worth of expenditures, leading to a net surplus of a little over $9,082,707 to be exact. When we roll in that $9 million worth of net revenues into our fund balance of previously, which was $45.8 million, we ended the year with an ending fund balance of $54.8 million, which is pretty substantial. It's as well as we've been in a long time, it's a very healthy ending fund balance. Sufficient cash balances. We have reserves for economic uncertainties built in. The fixed assets include, you know, things like our facilities and those capital outlay items. And then the restricted balances represent some programs that we're carrying over into following years. So all in all, very good year. And you'll see that summarized in the next slide here. So I want to talk a little bit about the ERC, which is that Employee Retention Credit. We applied for these funds back in September of 2022. And so this is a tax credit where employers get approximately $26,000 per employee for really being able to utilize their employees during a difficult time during the pandemic. And so we had applied for these funds, didn't know exactly when we were going to get the funds. We did end up getting them after our budget adoption. And so I want to make sure I'm clear on this because we had expected these funds to come in, you know, right around August, September, you know, this time of year or so. And we planned on utilizing them for the current 23-24 school year. However, in speaking with various different entities, including our authorizers, as well as our own auditors, it was recommended that we recognize these revenues for 22-23 So following the advice of the auditors, we booked those revenues. And as you'll see here, some of these revenues really did help to increase the fund balance for some of our schools. I'll give you more of a breakdown on that, but this here represents how much we got by school. So you can see here, MSA 1 got a little over $1 million, being the largest, 16% of the total. MSA 2 got 711,000, MSA 3, 758,000, MSA 4, a little over $250,000, close to $500,000 for MSA 5, 465,000 to be exact, 212,000 for MSA 6, close to $500,000, $486,000 for MSA 7, MSA Bell, 732,000, San Diego, over $500,000 being at 563,000, Santa Ana, close to $1 million, 910,000, and then the home office got a little over $500,000 being at 505,000. So collectively, we got $6.67 million for applying for the tax credits, which is great. It actually came in at about $400,000, a little over $400,000 higher than we had anticipated because of some of the interest that we received. It took a little bit longer for these funds to be processed by the IRS, so we were able to recognize some additional revenue in the form of interest that's been reflected here. So if we can go to the next piece. Now, this is a little bit of an eye chart, and I apologize, but I did want to kind of show each entity, and I've got all of the detail available if there's any questions, as questions arise, but I'll go ahead and begin by talking going from each school, starting with MSA 1, which had collectively 15.19 million worth of revenues, offset by 13.7 million worth of expenses, allowing for net income or net revenue of 1.47 million. And then ending the year with a very healthy fund balance of a little over $11 million. So school did well, had a positive ending fund balance. MSA 2, we have 10.4 million worth of revenues offset by 8.6 million worth of expenditures, allowing for net revenue or net income to be about 1.8 million, among the highest of the schools, MSA 1 and 2. And then leading to a $5.6 million ending fund balance. And remembering that MSA 2 did have some expenses associated with that Van Owen facility. And so those costs were a little under $3 million. So the fund balance would have been higher had that money been included. Moving on to MSA 3, we had $7.94 million worth of revenues, offset by 7.33 million worth of expenditures, allowing for $607,000 worth of surplus and an ending fund balance of 3.25 million. MSA 4, close to 2.6 million worth of revenues, offset by close to 2.5 million worth of expenses, allowing for a net income of 99,000, close to $100,000. And then an ending fund balance of close to $1.5 million. MSA 5, we had $5.86 million worth of revenues, offset by $4.25 million worth of expenses. Again, allowing for a nice, sufficient net income or net revenue of $1.6 million. This is the third school that I've listed so far that's had over $1 million worth of net revenue, allowing for an ending fund balance of $5.3 million. For 2223. Moving on to MSA 6, 2.82 million worth of revenues, offset by 2.4 million worth of expenditures, allowing for a $408,000 surplus and then an ending fund balance of 2.8 million balance budget so far. MSA 7, close to 6.1 million worth of revenues, offset by close to 5.5 million worth of expenses. Allowing for a $645,000 surplus and an ending fund balance, as you can see here, of 3.3 million. Going on to MSA 8, MSA Bell, close to 8.8 million worth of revenues, offset by 7.6 million worth of expenses, allowing for net income of 1.5 1.17, close to 1.2 million. Now the fourth school to have in excess of $1 million worth of surplus. And you'll see here some of the variations by school as it relates to the ERC credits. Finally, with MSA Bell, $7.6 million worth of ending fund balance. Moving on to MSA Santa Ana, $10.63 million worth of revenues offset by $10.62 million worth of expenses. So very much a balanced budget with a surplus of close to $14,000 and an ending fund balance of $9.5 million. MSA San Diego, $5.84 million worth of revenues offset by $5.8 million worth of expenses, allowing for a surplus of close to $41,000 and a ending fund balance, I should say, of $1.4 million. And then finally, the home office at $7.83 million worth of revenues offset by $6.6 million worth of expenditures. And a home office also had a surplus of over $1 million, close to $1.2 million in an ending fund balance of close to $3.6 million. So collectively, $84 million worth of revenues offset by $75 million worth of expenses, and org-wide, that's a $9 million surplus for 22-23. If we could go to the next slide, please. Yeah, as mentioned, the ERC tax credit certainly allowed us to be able to do some things that we want to do, allowed some of the schools to really continue operating in the black. And this is an example here of, had we not gotten those revenues and booked them into the 22-23 year, you'll see that the net revenue by site is quite a bit lower in some cases. For the case of MSA 1, a little over 400,000. MSA 2 still at 1.1 million, but you see here with some of the schools like MSA 3 and MSA 4, it would have been actually not at a surplus, but actually deficit spending at close to 151 and 155,000 respectively for each of those two schools. So it would have been a little bit challenging running in a deficit. Fortunately, we did not, but I did want to show a visual representation of what it would have looked like had we not booked these revenues. 1.1 million for MSA 5, a little less than 200,000 for MSA 6, 158,000 MSA 7, MSA Bell 440,000, and then challenging for MSA Santa Ana and San Diego. Santa Ana would have been running a deficit of about 897,000, almost 900,000, and then San Diego would have been at 522,000. So fortunately, the schools did not have to incur deficit spending, but I did want to show the contrast between what the picture would have looked like with and without those additional funds. 4 of 10 sites would have been deficit spending. And so that's what I have as far as top line numbers. And I'll go ahead and turn it back over to Jennifer, and we can go over any specifics.
Thank you, Mr. Budraj. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Thank you, Steve. This is Mia Khan. Excuse me. Steve, for page 5, when I look at the state revenues, other state revenues for MSA 2, are they not getting certain revenues?
Well, in the case of MSA 2, some of the revenues, some of the other state revenues are one-time in nature. Like, for example, the Arts and Music Block Grant or the Learning Recovery, some of those are one-time in certain.
Are they based on student numbers?
They're based on various criteria, and student numbers are part of that. But I guess my point is, some of those revenues, because we're now being allowed to spend down those monies over a period of several years as opposed to 1 year at a time. We had to sort of defer those revenues into out years and use the ERC, because if we would have booked them all into 2022-23, then you'd have a really loaded surplus. And so we want to be able to look forecast out and say, okay, since we have this money for three more years, let's push it over into next year, and we'll find ways to utilize it next year and hopefully even the year afterwards. So it's not necessarily a direct reflection of the other state revenues as you see here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, compared to the similar schools or even MSA 3, it just seems a little lower by significant amount. So
yeah,
I just want to make sure we're not missing.
Yeah, I can look at
some specific revenues for MSA. It seems to be a significant amount.
Yeah,
if there's the difference.
Amended cost reimbursements, lottery, a lot of the other state, most of what we're referring to is all other state. And I do believe that's that pot of money that we get to kind of help with, these sort of larger block grants. And so in the case of, in the case of MSA 1, you've got $1.6 million in other state revenues, all other state, I should say. And then in the case of MSA 2, it's $708,000, call it. Mm-hmm. And so that is a pretty stark difference. I'll have to take a look to see how much of that we've recognized.
Exactly. So it might be just a matter of recognizing it.
Yeah, and how much of that.
Yeah.
And I think as we get into budget planning and interim reporting, we can look at that and see how far out that money is going to last. Because to your point, that is a pretty good contrast, despite the fact that there's a student population difference of less than 200.
Mm-hmm. Or even the MSA 3, the lesser student numbers would have significant higher amount. And I'm assuming their free reduced lunch rate is pretty similar.
Yeah, they're very much close. Yeah, there's not a significant difference between the three schools that I would see. So on the other state, let's see. Basically, this how much of that we have also. In the case of MSA 3, $1.6 million of all other state, which is very similar to what we had at MSA 1. So, yeah, we lump them all into like one broad category because they separate out like lottery, mandated costs, special ed, and then all of those block grant type funds just get lumped in under what's called all other state. So that's something we'll definitely look at more carefully. I know they have some funds. I know some of the schools have more than others that they can carry into out years. And that's one of the things that really is going to have to be carefully looked at as we get into multi-year planning, because the schools that have less money to carry into are going to have to obviously make some decisions on planning and that type of thing.
Okay. While we're at MSA 2, for some of the expenses for the new facility is the part of operating expense here, I'm assuming? And are we going to reimburse the school for it, or is it going to be as if it's an ongoing expense?
Some of that is going to be ongoing and probably capitalized over many years. So you'll see it fall under capital outlay. And so it'll depend on the nature of the expense. So if they're like one-time fees, they'll probably be absorbed into the budget. But if it's stuff that's, has to do with the actual building and the long term, then we can capitalize that over a 30-year period.
And we're booking it under specifically for the new facility, the expenses.
Correct.
Okay. Now the ERC and matter of it being pretty much not having it in this current year, so multi-year budget, let's see it as soon as possible in the coming board meetings, so
yeah,
that we know where we're going. I mean, MSA Santa Ana, San Diego, right? We have to have a plan. We cannot look into this and
we have the plan. We just have to be on the same page with the school. And decisions we're going to take, actions we're going to take has to be reflective on a multi-year budget, that we're not doing the decisions when that day comes, rather spreading it throughout the year. Maybe we can spare some of its expenses, increase revenue in other parts. So maybe giving goals to schools. I'm sure Alfredo will have that with the school leaders, and providing those numbers, keeping up to date with the school and ourselves, so that we are all on board and we aware of this and we have a plan for this.
You mentioned goals.
Yes,
we'll have to take a look at enrollment to see overlay the enrollment numbers with what the ADA is, right? We know historically in the last 2-3 years now, historically we, before the pandemic, we were at 96%. Lately we've been closer to 93% or so. And so we'll have to see, because even 1% makes a difference of hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we'll look at enrollment. We'll look at how much one-time funds that are available and how long we can carry those out into future years. And then to the point of some of the schools that really, for example, Santa Ana, even in the case of MSA 3 and 4 and San Diego, possibly, we'll have to really look at those carefully, because some may require more immediate attention, I think.
Yes.
So so those four schools, and then obviously the capitalizing the facilities expenses.
Yes.
Anything else that I missed?
No, I mean, pretty much. And again, taking all of this into realization and applying it into the multi-year budget, we see that where we're going with this, it's making up for that habit, like we do with the other stuff, so that all of that is integrated into numbers.
Sure. So for the last school year, we did multi-year projections in March.
Yes.
But we can begin them sooner if that's something that you recommend.
I think so. I mean, maybe other
board
members.
Maybe on a quarterly basis, we should be able to, look at them just to make sure that everything is lining up correctly.
And that's a fair point. And I'm happy to do that. I will say that just typically, like historically, what happens when you adopt the budget, and then the first interim report is due right around November, before Christmas. Generally, there's not a significant change between your adopted budget. There's trailer legislation that gets passed in July because of the state budget has to be, it gets them to be passed after the school site budgets. The change you generally see is a broader change that occurs in the following year with a January proposal. And we can still, of course, we'll still do that multi-year planning. And I think what we can do then is revisit it as we get into January proposal and may revise, probably before may revise in this case. But yeah, we can certainly begin to do that. I think now with things that are changing constantly, multi-year planning has become, more important than ever.
Absolutely. And then given our budget and the number of students, though there are very promising numbers increases, multi-year budget I think is going to keep us on track, but just as much the schools, they have to be on board with all of these numbers. They have to be aware that the numbers are not here and there. They're all on the same page, that the school, the staff, the principal, the leadership, shares this and it's owned by school. So that's why I believe multi-year becomes even more important at the schools that have the facility. But all schools have to do it, of course. But those four schools become even more.
Yeah, the responsibility really needs to lie with them, and they really need to sit down as a unit, or collectively, and really review their budget, I would say on a quarterly basis, because if they don't, they can overrun.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. When you have challenging times, is what we're dealing with now, we're in an inflationary environment,
economy, you know, there's challenges, interest rates are high. So right now, more than ever, is the time to really begin to do multi-year planning more regularly. So yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Okay. Any further questions from the committee? If no further questions from the committee members, then the motion will be for the committee to approve the fiscal year 2022-23 unaudited actuals report for Magnolia Public Schools. Furthermore, for the committee to recommend approval to the full board. A committee member like to move the motion?
I'll go ahead and move the motion, Diane.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Is there a second?
Seconded, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Mohammeda, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Dikbush?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mohammeda?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with a unanimous vote. And that concludes all of our items for tonight's.
Wait, so this is Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO, Superintendent. Good evening, everyone. Hopefully everyone's good at the school sites. So for the committee, how would you like for us to present this to the full board? Do you want the full presentation that was given to you at the full board meeting?
I think it could be more brief.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we summarize it?
Oh, sure.
Wanted to clarify that. Obviously.
Absolutely. We'll, of course, inform the board as well about the four schools with and without the ERC that school sees that. And how we will, adopt this into the multi-year budget more often than it is so we see. So if we cover that with full board and public.
Okay, we'll take note of that.
Dr. Dikbush, do you agree as well?
Yep, sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, committee members. So as mentioned, that concludes all of our items for tonight's finance committee. I'll turn it over to Dr. Dikbush. If you may please adjourn the committee, the time is 7:15 p.m.
Yes, thanks everyone for joining. I'd like to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you everyone, and we'll see everyone at the regular board meeting later on. Bye.
Thank you.